Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
I've been meditating on for about 2 months now on my own Psalm 46. It's just been it's one of my life verses is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. And I believe the Lord really wanted me to meditate on it, not just memorize it, but meditate, chew on it, get all the nutrients out of it. And so and asking the Lord what he'd have me to preach this Sunday. This is where he took me. So I want to talk to you today really about Christianity 101. A lot of you have been Christians for a long time, and I understand that. But you never get past the most fundamental, vital lessons that you need to learn. And I would say that today, this message, it may be milk for some of you, but if you chew on it long enough, it'll turn into meat. And you keep meditating on it, it'll turn into strong meat. And the word is called milk for those who need milk, new Christians, baby Christians, immature, people who haven't grown in the faith. And then it's called meat for those who are more mature, and then there's strong meat. And if you broke down Psalm 46 into three places, and you can do that, there's a few verses, then there's the word Selah. The word Selah means rest. It really means stop and think about what you just read. And then there's another section, and then there's a Selah. Stop and think about what you just read. And then there's the final part. So it's broken down into three parts, and I liken it to this. The first part today is milk. Next week, Lord willing, it'll be meat. And the third week will be strong meat. A lot of people won't be able to take strong meat. We're going to walk through this however God wants us to walk through it, however long. But today is some milk for people that need some milk, but it's also some meat for people who need meat. So I'm talking to you today in Psalm 46, verse 1, about trusting God's abiding presence. Now I know we all know God is here. God is present. But sometimes when I hear some of the words Christians use, it makes me wonder if they know that God's always here. Sometimes they wait for a feeling. Sometimes they got to have goosebumps before they acknowledge God's presence. But God never leaves you if you're born again. His presence is always with you. And you'd be surprised. I think there are some people, Christians, who think that God still comes and goes. No. He's with you all the time. And this is vital for us to understand this because this is where our security is. This is where our faith is. And this is how we fight our battles, by acknowledging and realizing God's with me. You know, now I want to give you, get ready to write something down. I want to give you God's private cell phone. You ready? Jeremiah 33:3. Just write that down. That's his cell phone number. Call upon me, and I'll answer, and I'll show you great and mighty things you don't even know. Now, you got his cell phone number. You can call him anytime. When you call him, don't think he's out there or up there. If you're born again, he's in here. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm in you. And I know we have wonderful worship moments like a moment ago where we say, oh, the presence of the Lord is here. Yeah. Well, that's good that you can feel that. That's good. I like that. I like to feel the presence of the Lord. But he is just as much here when you don't feel him. I walk in this building sometimes, there ain't nobody here, but I know God's with me. Not just in this building, but he's with me. And it's important for you and I to know that deep down inside our knower. Well, here's our verse of scripture. Let's look at it in Psalm 46, verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. And that's King James language, but I left it in there for a reason, and I'll tell you why later. Now, I want you to say it with me. God, no, that is pitiful. Come on. That was weak. Come on, let's say it together. Ready? One, two, three. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. And I like that therefore. As a result of what we just read there in verse 1, therefore, will not we fear. Not, we would say it in our way today, we will not fear. And I like the King James just because it's different and it messes you up a little bit, but it makes you think. It's already like it's a predetermined answer. It's a predetermined thing. If I can get established in my heart, verse 1, if I can really believe it in here, but believe it in my heart, if I truly believe God is my refuge, God is my strength, He's a very present help in trouble, therefore, it's a done deal. It's predetermined. Will not. I'm determining. Will not. I've made the decision. Fear is not coming in here. Are you listening to me? Bill Suttis was just here, and he said the number one attack against Christians demonically is fear, spirit of fear. And he said the number one fear is fear of death among Christians. People who are going to heaven, they're afraid to die. And the devil knows it, and so he uses it to torment the daylights out of you. But if we get this thing established in our heart here today, that'll never happen to you again. Will not we fear, it says. It's like saying, yeah, we're not going to fear, but it's a predetermined answer because God's my refuge. Now, this is Christianity 101. This is very, very basic. It's foundational for people who have been born from above, born of the Spirit of God. God is with us. He's watching over us. He's a good father. No matter what happens in this life, you missed a good opportunity to say amen. No matter what happens to you in this life, He's a good, good father. He hasn't abandoned you. He's with you. He loves you. He's watching over you. No matter whatever happens in your life. That was weak, but I'll take it because you're going to get stronger. Our life is like a voyage or a journey on a ship. We all experience wind and waves, hurricanes, storms. Why do we need God to be our refuge? So when storms do come, when winds come, when adversity comes, when trials come, when unexpected surprises come, we don't fear. We don't panic like the rest of the world. We're supposed to be panic-proof. I said it's supposed to be. If you're not there, I'm not condemning you. We'll just go through some storms to find out how good God really is. He's better than you think He is. And we're going to get to this place in life where we're panic proof. When things happen, we just don't get all bent out of shape like the world. We got the one who created the whole universe living inside of us. And so we're to live with a fearless confidence, trusting in a God that we can't see, but He made everything there is. Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you believe that? Then the trial or the storm that you're in, maybe this particular moment, or you're heading into, or you just came out of one, whatever that is, the trial or storm you're in is very real. I'm not denying that it's causing you some trouble. It's very visible, but it's only temporary. Amen. Every trial has an expiration date. Hallelujah. When storms come, and we're in hurricane season now, I think somebody told me the other day, Pam, I think you told me that. Are we almost there anyway? So storm season comes, you know, hurricane season comes. And whenever hurricane season come, and if they come through, storms come through and all that kind of stuff, all they do is they reveal things that can be shaken. And they also reveal things that can't be shaken. We find out how good things are made or how well something's really rooted by a storm. So God, who is invisible on purpose, but very real, he wrote in his book for us to meditate on. He said, I want you to get this, church. I want you to get it in your head. I want you to get it in your heart. I want you to put it in your mouth, and I want you to speak it often to yourself. Especially when a storm comes. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. If you just get that one verse of scripture today, this week, if you just take that one verse, write it on a little card, write it on a paper, put it in your pocket, keep it with you, and every once in a while, wherever you get a second, just pull it out and just say it to yourself out loud. Psalm 46, 1. Oh, God's cell phone number? You got to stay up with me, brother. Jeremiah 33, 3. Yeah. I'm glad you're listening, though, Richard. Bless your heart. So there's so much here I want to share with you today. I just want to introduce this to you, though. But you and I, according to Scripture, for example, and it's not going to be on the screen, so don't panic up there. Psalm 94, verse 12 says, blessed is the man, Lord, whom you teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity. That you may give him rest from the days of adversity. That does not mean he doesn't have adversity. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Paul said, if you're going to live godly, you're going to have trouble. If you're going to be persecuted, Jesus said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So you know, he's not talking about not having trouble. God wants to give you rest in adversity. And another version of the Bible says, to keep you calm in the days of adversity. You don't panic like somebody else who doesn't know the Lord as their refuge and strength. You just stay calm. The storm comes, the bad news comes, the trial comes, the stress comes, the financial, whatever it is, it comes. But you're able to just kind of remain calm, and people look at you and wonder, how come you're not falling to pieces on this? What kind of drug are you on? I'm on J-E-S-U-S, and I'm overdosing every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's the Lord in your life, if he's your refuge and your strength and a very present help in trouble, is supposed to do something for you. Keep you calm in the days of adversity. And even another psalm, I won't read it all to you, but it ain't on the screen. Psalm 131, just write it down. Psalm 131, verse 2. It talks about how he'll wean us like a child. He'll wean us like a child. A weaned child is one that doesn't cry and whine when he doesn't get what he wants anymore. An unweaned child just says, wah! And mommy and daddy run over there and they give him a bottle or they change his diaper. Wah! They're right there. And after a while, mom and dad realize, you know what? It's time for this kid to get over that. We are not going to jump every time this child goes, wah! And so after a while, how they wean that child, or the mother weans the child from not, you know, giving it milk every time it wants, it just doesn't respond to that cry every time. Wah! Where's my mom at? Wah! Oh, Mom! Wah! Where are you? Wah! And Mom's just getting, I ain't responding to that. And so it gets louder. Wah! Wah! And they go on and on and on until they cry themselves asleep most of the time. And they eventually learn that Mama is not going to jump every time that baby cries. It doesn't mean Mama has abandoned the baby. The baby has got to learn Mama is still there, but Mama is not here to serve you. You are here to be this Mama baby. She's going to treat you right. She's going to take care of you. You don't have to be afraid. Mama has not run away from you. So the baby gets weaned over a period of time by learning that it doesn't get everything it wants when it thinks it should have it. Some of you are getting weaned right now. And we all are to some things. You know how you are when you're a new Christian? You know the first time you're new in the faith and you in the Lord and you have a need and you cry out to God and all of a sudden you're surprised He's there and He answered. Wow, I prayed a prayer and God provided. I prayed a prayer and I got well. And you go, wow. And then you try that sometime later and it's like it doesn't work. And you wonder, did God leave me? No, He's just trying to get you to grow up. He's always with you. He's not just with you when you can feel Him or when you can see a manifestation. He's with you all the time. And He wants you to learn that and not be afraid. Especially when things don't go the way you think they ought to go. Hello, is anybody here? Fear is one of our biggest enemies. You've heard some acrostics with fear, acronyms with fear, false evidence appearing, real, or face everything and rise. Yeah, we deal with fear probably on a daily basis in some way or another. The disciples, one time they watched Jesus feeding 5,000 people. Can you imagine? And most scholars say it's probably like 15,000 people. Because they only counted the men. Not that the women weren't important, but that's just how they did things. And Jesus fed 5,000 people. In fact, he preached to them, taught them all day long. Don't ever complain about how long I preach. Because I'm trying to be like Jesus. I haven't preached all day long, but now he preached to them all day long and it was getting evening. His disciples came to him, you know the story, and they said, you know, we need to send everybody away, Jesus, because there's not enough restaurants around here. And Walmart's a long walk from here. And Jesus looked at him and said, you feed them. Us? Me? Yeah, he said, you feed them. And they start scrambling and thinking in the natural rather than believing that the supernatural God is with them. It could do anything and nothing's impossible. And they start looking around and say, well, how much money do we have? And he comes back to the Lord. Lord, well, you know, we don't have enough money to feed all these people in the treasury right now. It's just impossible for us. And he said, just calm down. Sit down, take notes. What do we have? Well, there's a little boy over here. He's got 3 loaves, 2 fish. Bring them to me. Brings him over. He takes him. Thank you, Father, for provision. Thank you for supplying our every need in advance. Thank you, Father. And we bless you and thank you. We trust you and we know you are our source. You are our provider. Not how much money we have in the bank, but you and you alone. And we thank you for it, Lord. And he started breaking the bread and bringing baskets over. And they fed over 5,000 people, probably 15,000 people. Now, why is that in the Bible? For you to read it and believe it? When you need God to multiply something in your life and so that you won't be afraid? What did the disciples learn from this? They learned that Jesus is Lord and Master over the physical world. That when He tells you to do something, He intends to provide for you to be able to do it. If He tells you, you feed them, then you start feeding. You don't start figuring out, well, you don't go and say, well, how much is this going to cost? You just start doing it. Are y'all awake out there? Do you need some coffee? And so they had this great experience, and they learned something about Jesus that they'd never seen before or never experienced before. That when Jesus tells you to do something, you trust him. Didn't we just sing a couple weeks ago, he's the way maker, promise keeper? He is. And so they're in school, just like you and I are in school while we're here on this earth, and we're learning about Jesus, how to live a supernatural life. And they're privileged to listen to Jesus personally. And then he demonstrated a miracle. They should have been soaring high in faith. Man, they should have been up here and should have been just absolutely overwhelmed, like, wow, did you see that? I mean, there I saw it myself. There was only 2 loaves, 3 fishes, and he fed over 5,000 people, and we had 12 baskets full left over. That was a miracle. Did you see that? That's where they should have been. But instead, and sometimes in ministry it's worse, you get preoccupied with the next thing we got to do. We got to do this and we got to do that. And so so what happened was this. Now they're going to have a test. Can I tell you something that may shock you? I'm going to tell you anyway, so just say yes. Every time I deliver a word, a living word from God, like I'm delivering you today, God is putting it out from out of my mouth into your ears. You are going to have a test real soon on this, or else he wouldn't have me preach this to you. I just stand up and tell you jokes all day. He's given me something to give to you because you're going to have a test real soon. Maybe today. So you need to pay close attention. Everybody say these words. Now I'm getting ready for my test, and I'm going to pass it this time, so I don't have to retake it. Here's what happened according to Scripture. Look this on the screen with me. Immediately, and this is right after this miracle happened, he compelled the disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side. Notice, he compelled them. They didn't want to go. Now, Lord, we're tired. It's been a long day. He said, no, get in the boat. I want you to go over to the other side. Okay, can't we just do this in the morning? Get in the boat. And you're going to the other side. They get in the boat. He told them what was going to happen. You're going to go the other side. He sent them away, and then he himself departed in a mountain to pray. He's got to recharge. He's got to go spend time with the Father. He goes up in a mountain to pray, and when evening was came, he looked out there across the Sea of Galilee, like you can real easy from the mountain there, and he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. They're in the will of God, but the wind is against them. Are you with me? About the fourth watch of the night, that's between like 3 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. About fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, walking on the water. Now here's the problem. It says he would have passed them by. But when they saw him, they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out, for they were troubled. Another version says they were sore amazed. Another version says they were overwhelmed. And I know you're sitting there thinking, well, who wouldn't be? Well, you shouldn't be. If you just saw what they saw, if you were just with who they were just with, if you were listening to him all day long preach faith to you, you shouldn't have been so amazed. It says that immediately he spoke to them, because they're having a panic attack, and he says, don't yield to what? First thing that attacks you, fear, spirit of fear. Don't yield to fear. I'm speaking this prophetically probably to somebody here today who's dealing with a serious issue. I'm telling you right now, don't yield to fear. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what your bank account said. Don't yield to fear. There is no place to go when you yield to fear. You're going under if you yield to fear. Don't yield to fear. He says, have courage. It's really me. And he says, I am. And then he went into the boat and the wind ceased. Another miracle. And they're completely overwhelmed because they failed to learn the lesson of what? How many of you ever had a miracle in your life? Raise your hand. Besides the miracle of salvation. Don't fail to learn the lesson that's in that miracle. There's a lesson in the miracle that you have experienced. You're to carry with you the rest of your life. In fact, you're to teach that miracle and teach that lesson to anybody else who will listen. That's your miracle. That's your experience. That's your testimony. You got something special from God. And so look at what happened here. If they'd only learned, the whole scripture is pointing out, if they'd only learned the lesson that Jesus taught them from the miracle of the loaves and fishes, they wouldn't have had a panic attack when they saw him walking on the water. Well, sure, he's going to walk on the water because he loves us. He told us to go to the other side. We're in this storm. Sure, he's going to help us. But he's going to walk on the water. We never seen anybody walk on the water before, but we never saw anybody feed 5,000 people. He's the Lord and Master of the universe. Well, sure, he can do anything. That really would have been the appropriate response. You see, fear is a sign to the enemy that he's winning. Next slide. Fear is a sign to the enemy that he's winning in your life. But Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't care what it is. The greater one lives in you. We are supernatural beings, and the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside us. Did you ever find any scripture in the Bible where Jesus was afraid? Yes or no? I mean, anybody even trying to pull a practical joke on him, walk up on him and go, boo, whatever, he wouldn't have been afraid. His spirit on the inside, he's calm. His spirit on the inside is settled. His spirit is secure on the inside. There's no surprise that could happen to him that would shock him. And that's the way you and I are to be. And faith is a sign to the enemy that the enemy's losing. So, learn this one valuable lesson from Psalm 46, verse 1. If you get this, you're on your way to becoming panic-proof for the rest of your life. You're on your way to living supernatural in the midst of a troubled world. You're on your way for people going to notice you like they've never noticed you before because there's something in you that enables you and it keeps you from being afraid when everybody else is afraid. Here it is. Say it with me again. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Are you getting it? I'm not convinced yet, but you will. If you'll meditate on this. Listen what the Apostle Paul said while he was living in jail for preaching the gospel. He wrote this to other Christians to encourage them because he knew that they could get discouraged by seeing their leader in prison for doing the will of God. So he said this, do not be frightened by your adversaries. This is a sign to them of their destruction. But of your salvation from God, when you're not afraid. For to you it has been granted, not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict you saw in me. He says, what I'm going through is what Jesus went through, and this is just part and parcel of of my journey and part of my assignment. But don't be afraid. I'm not afraid. And don't you be afraid, because if you're afraid, it's a sign to the enemy that he's winning. Can I get a witness from somebody who knows what I'm talking about? Passion Translation says it this way: never be shaken or intimidated by opposition that rises up against us. Never. Never. Thank you for all those amens. Do you want to become fearless, or do you want to stay afraid? Jesus wants you to become fearless. I'm not saying that things are not going to happen and it might startle you at the moment and you might lose your peace for a few moments, but if you lose your peace, you ought to get it back within 60 seconds. You remember who's in charge, who's with you. Never be shaken or intimidated by the opposition that rises up against us. Why? Back to Psalm 46, 31. I'm going to keep throwing this back to you. Say it with me. Why? Because that's why. That's why. But if you don't know that verse and you can't quote that verse, you can't speak that verse out loud, you'll probably be overcome by fear this week. You probably won't pass your test. But when fear comes, and the fear can be a spirit that attacks you, when fear comes at you like a roaring lion, ready to devour you, eat you up, destroy your life, destroy your marriage, destroy your finances, destroy your children, when the enemy comes at you, all you got to do is just stand up. You don't have to shout. You don't have to holler. You can just say, God is my refuge and my strength. Very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not I fear. Take that, devil. Take it. But you got to say it. You can't think it. You have to speak words of God out loud so that you hear them yourself. The enemy hears it, but he doesn't hear what you're thinking. He hears what you're speaking. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if you speak, well, I don't think I'm going to make it. Well, guess what? The enemy says, aha, it's working. Keep the pressure on. Oh, no, we're going to die. Okay, the enemy hears, aha, we got him. Now let's go in for the kill. Are you with me? Bible records two storms that Jesus was in. One storm, Jesus was in the boat after preaching all day long, and he was sleeping in the back of the boat on some pillows, probably covered from, you know, the rain somehow. And Jesus was in the boat sleeping in the storm. And the one I just read to you about, he wasn't in the boat. He was watching them, and then he walked on top of the storm. I like this scripture, and I think this would be a good one for you to chew on as well. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 30 through 37. Cast not away your confidence, which will be greatly rewarded. You have need of patience, so that after you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise, and very soon he'll come. Hallelujah. Can I tell you the assignment of hell against your life? Hell is after your confidence. Hell is after your confidence in God. Just how confident are you God is your refuge and your strength, the very present help in trouble? Well, hell doesn't believe you're very confident. Hell is after your confidence. And if he can get you to throw it aside and say, you know, all that faith stuff doesn't work. I tried it, it didn't work. All that healing stuff doesn't work. If he can get you to say that with your words, then he can conquer you and even take your life, because you're in agreement with him, with your words. Well, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I don't care whether you like it or not, because I'm preaching to myself. So, Message Bible says it this way. Don't throw it all away now. Next slide there, please. So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing, but you need to stick it out. Staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on his way. He'll show up almost any moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you a question. The two storms that Jesus was in. One, he was in the boat. One, he was up on the mountain, and he saw him out there in the storm. Did God send these storms, or was it the devil? I want to warn you, it's a trick question. You think about yourself. Did God send these storms, or was it the devil? The answer is yes. I'm serious. Both. Satan rages to steal your confidence. God could have stopped the storm. He stopped it later on his own, but Yes. In our voyage in life, we must settle the faith question. And Psalm 46 makes it real clear. It declares it over us, and if we'll agree with God and declare Psalm 46 over our own lives, it'll settle a lot of issues in our life. Is it okay to ask Jesus to help us when we're in trouble? Well, sure it is. That's why I gave you a cell phone number. But it should come from a settled, anxious for nothing, confidence that He's already with us. He's already our refuge. He's already our strength. He's already our very present help. He's not out there somewhere going to have to come over here and rescue us with a 911 ambulance. No, He's already here. So when we speak it, we say it with a settled confidence, with no anxiety, with no worry. Lord, will You help me? Sure, I help you. Sure, I help you. I said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'm with you. I'm for you. Sure, I help you. Sometimes He lets a storm rage. But we should be to the point spiritually where we're just as calm then in the storm as when it's over with. Because we're trusting in God's abiding presence. Sometimes we see His presence and sometimes we don't see His presence. Sometimes we feel His presence and sometimes we don't feel His presence. But He's still with us all the time. This is Christianity 101. I don't know if you ever taught that or not, but you ought to know that. Somebody should have told you. You don't have to pray to get God's presence. He's with you. You're born again. He lives in you. You're His temple. Luke chapter 8, Jesus gives an account there where the disciples were in the boat and He instructed them. He said, let's go to the other side. And then He went to sleep in that storm. I love Bill Johnson's quote and I use it often. You've heard it before and I love this. The reason Jesus was able to sleep in the storm, he had authority over it. You have authority over any storm you can sleep in. Well, amen, Pastor. That was one of the best things I heard you. Amen. Yeah. Is the greater one living in you? Is greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world? Then you have authority over all the creation. The disciples were afraid, and Jesus was asleep. They finally woke Him up and they said this stupid question. Lord, don't You care? We're perishing. That's a dumb question. I've said some dumb questions myself too, but that's a dumb question. And then he gets up and he rebukes the wind. He releases peace over the sea. And then he asks him, where's your faith? This moment illustrates how the kingdom works. Faith works from a place of rest. Jesus was sleeping. He was resting. He was tired. Word rest, you've heard me say, resist everything Satan throws. Satan was throwing the storm. They should have resisted it. They shouldn't have been afraid. They shouldn't have let those fearful words come out of their mouth. It's okay to ask the Lord, Lord, what are we to do? What could you give us some instruction? It's okay. But Lord, don't you care? We're perishing. Where's your faith? Is God a good God? Is your God not so good? And the voice of fear attracts the devil. The voice of faith always repels the devil. And he knows the difference when it comes out of your voice. And the place of rest is this abiding in Christ, this life that's connected to the Christ who lives inside of us. So we can say, therefore, will not we fear? We can say that. Peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God. Jesus is our peace. And we live in the confidence that he's with me. Yeah, I got to face this storm. Yeah, I got to deal with this difficult person. Yeah, I got to find out from God how we're going to pay this bill or what we're going to do, decisions we're going to make. Yeah, you have responsibilities. God knows that. But you need to live with the confidence that he's with you. And we bring peace into an atmosphere. We carry a peace anointing. We walk into a room and where there's turmoil, of our presence alone, when we walk in, there ought to be an atmosphere of peace there just because we're there. I mean, everybody may not still like each other and maybe turmoil and stuff going on, but you know what? We carry peace with us wherever we go. And we change that atmosphere. We go into rooms where people are afraid and they got a loved one about to die, this and that, and we find out that loved one doesn't know Jesus. We share the gospel with them. Peace comes in that room because we're there. We carry that peace anointing. That's from Jesus. That's his presence. If we lose our peace, it's because we've made some sort of mental agreement to believe a lie. Next slide, please. If you lose your peace, you've made some kind of mental agreement with the enemy, and you're believing a lie. You're thinking he's bigger and badder than he really is. Hello. If we lose our peace, we need to repent of believing the lie and take back our emotions that we're believing a lie. When we're afraid, we let an enemy dart get past the shield of faith. And it enter your soul. And it can cause physical sickness, illness, and disease, mental illness, sickness, and disease, because fear has attacked your soul. And it's a fiery dart. It's burning and consuming your mental health and your physical health. And so the best thing to do is to repent for believing a lie and get back to confessing the promises of God. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. I say that as medicine. I speak it out loud to attack the enemy. I say it out loud to resist the spirit of fear. I have to do these things. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Faith is speaking God's word. Speak it. Speak it to yourself. Look in the mirror. Tell yourself, I don't have a spirit of fear. I don't have depression. I don't have sickness and disease. Always keep God's promises within reach and then speak them out loud when fear attacks. And this is a good one to start with. I'm almost done, so hang in there. In one account, the disciples were amazed when Jesus got in the boat or when he calmed the storm, and they said, "Who is this that the wind and the waves obey?" Tells you how much they knew. They didn't even know he's creator of the universe. Now, you could take that and apply it to your situation, and I suggest you do. Who is this that cancer and disease obey him? Or whatever your situation is. Do you really know, I mean really know from experience, Almighty God lives inside your body? Then that ought to make a difference. You don't deal with trouble and issues and all the troubles of the world like everybody else does. You don't panic then like everybody. If you really know that, you don't panic like everybody else. You don't. So that's my point is, do you really know that? I'm not condemning you, but I'm trying to get you to look at yourself in the mirror and say, do I really know this? If I don't, this is where I start. It's Christianity 101. You can't walk through this devil-filled, troubled world and not know this. You got to know it. Matter of life and death. And final point. Jesus came on the water, walking on the water by his disciples, and they were straining at the oars trying to get over there to the other side, like he said, and Jesus just walking by it. I'd love to have been there. And the scripture says, Mark 6:48, he came by walking and would have passed them by. There's another place in scripture after the resurrection on the Emmaus Road when Jesus was walking with the disciples, the two disciples, and they were all down in the dumps and depressed about Jesus being crucified and hearing some rumors that maybe he was alive, but they didn't really believe it, and they were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus walked up, and they didn't recognize him. He disguised himself from them, and it says, and they drew near the village, that he talked to them, and started from Genesis all the way through the Bible, all through the prophets and the law, and explained to them how this was supposed to happen to the Messiah. And man, they got their faith built up, and they were so excited to be walking with this preacher, man. He'd really encouraged them, really helped them to see things that they didn't see. And it says, he just made on like, well, okay, fellas, I got to go on now. Y'all keep on going. You guys have a nice rest of the evening. And they said, no, you stay with us. Don't leave. In other words, he would have passed them by. He would have kept on going. How often does Jesus come to us in our troubles or in our storms, and he reveals himself to us in a way that we never knew he was like that? How often, well, okay, now the problem's over. Okay, I'm better now. And he would go on, but we don't cling to him. We say, no, you stay. I need to learn more. A lot of people just say, well, I'm glad, thank you, you fixed my problem. Now I'm healed, and now I can just go on about my life. Yeah, that's most Christians. Most Christians just come to church to get their problem fixed. Just lay hands on me and pray for me, and let me get well. Or fix my problem or whatever. They're not willing to continue to walk with Jesus. And Jesus knows better, and he will not be used. And that's why sometimes people don't experience a manifestation up here of healing. Because they just want to get you. They just want to use Jesus. They don't want to walk with him. And he knows the only thing that's going to bring them to the point of knowing him is, unfortunately, trouble. Not that he wants to cause you trouble. He wants to bring you to the end of yourself where you trust him. During the storm, Oh, one last thing and I'm done, I promise. John 6:21. One time when Jesus got in that boat, it says, and they gladly received him into the boat, and immediately, everybody say immediately, the boat was at the land to which they were going. There's a whole nother sermon on that. I won't preach that right now. They got to where they were going once they got Jesus in their boat. You'll get to where you need to go once you get Jesus in your boat. You get Jesus in your troubles. You find him in your troubles. Not after your troubles. You find him in your troubles. It's supernatural. We're supposed to live a supernatural life. There ought to be some things that we can't explain. Where'd this provision come from? I don't know other than God. How'd that money come into your bank account? I don't know other than God. How did y'all pay off that building out there at Grace Tabernacle? Which we're going to do by the grace of God. And we're going to say, well, only by the grace of God. How are you able to do what you do? Only by the grace of God. God's presence in your life is supposed to direct your life and make all the difference in the world. Get this one thing settled in your life today. This one thing. One simple thing. Everybody stand to your feet. Altar workers, if you'll come up front and be with me. Here's the one thing you got to get settled. Yeah, musicians, you can go ahead and come up. There you go. Thank you, brother. All right. Next slide. Get this in your heart. Altar workers, come on up. God, say it with me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. God wants you to get to that therefore. But first you need to swallow and chew on and meditate and digest. God's my refuge. He's the strength of my life. He's very present with me. Hallelujah. Even in my trouble, he's right there. If you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, that's where you got to start. Maybe somebody here today never done that. If you've never asked Jesus, or you're not sure where you stand with God spiritually, then you need to settle that issue today. I'd love to talk with you or any one of our counselors here, and we'll share with you how simple that is to settle that issue once and for all. You can be born again, have his spirit in you, then you talk to God on the inside, not out there. He's in you. Others of you are struggling with fear. Fear is attacking your home. Fear is attacking your finances. Fear is attacking your future. You wake up in the middle of the night and you're worrying. You know what worry is? Worry is faith. Worry is faith. You have faith in what you fear. And you need to settle that. You need to conquer that today by making the Lord your refuge and saying it to yourself and saying it to yourself until you own it. This is mine. I'll not back off from it. God is my refuge. I don't care what kind of storm's going on. He's my strength, even when I'm weak. And I have known from experience, he's a very present help in all kinds of trouble. Hallelujah. Therefore, will not we fear. You need to repent of fear, and you need to repent of allowing fear to torment you. I would urge you, if you're born again today, to come to this altar and just talk to God about one thing you've heard today that just spoke life into your spirit. Do it right now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait on other people. One thing that God spoke to you today. Come up here. Come up here. Go to the altar. You can come to a counselor if you need prayer. If you don't need to talk to anybody, that's fine. Just talk to God. You don't realize when I tell you to do that, it is not about making me look good to have a bunch of people at the altar. I could care less about that. It's about you not forgetting a word that was just spoken to you from the living God's word into your heart and into your life, because he knows there's a test coming this week that you're going to have. This word is a living word, and you need to grab hold of it and talk to God about it before you hit your test. 98% of the time, people forget the sermon, forget anything about the sermon before nightfall on the very same day they hear it. I know how the devil works. So I'm just telling you as your pastor what you ought to do. You ought to come out of your pew right now and just come up here and stand and just be still and talk to God about what you just heard. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. The word's gone forth. The word always works. It will not fail. It will accomplish what you sent it forth to do. I thank you, Father, that everybody here has been given a life-giving word that they can go out of here and pass the test that is coming. The storm that is coming, Jesus already my refuge. The weakness is coming, Jesus already my strength. The trouble is coming, he's already present with me. He's getting me ready. I'm prepared. I'm going to walk through this thing as an overcomer and victorious. Hallelujah. I declare it, decree it before I see it. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, let the church say amen. Amen. If you need prayer, come forward.